Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Clarkston, Michigan, and was an All-American basketball player at the University of Michigan while earning a bachelor's degree in communications. The 12th pick in the 1984 draft by the Cleveland Cavaliers, he played 10 seasons in the NBA. Today, he's a business consultant, motivational speaker, and an ESPN color analyst. He believes that NBA stands for Never Be Average. His name, Tim McCormick. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Tim McCormick, ESPN color analyst during its college basketball games. Tim, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thanks so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this, and I've enjoyed your show, so thanks so much.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
I was blessed with a wonderful family. Two parents that are still very healthy, involved in all the grandchildren, two brothers and a sister, and living in Michigan was great. We lived on the east side behind Denby. We lived in Grosse Pointe Park, and then we moved to Clarkston where I went to high school. So I am a lifelong Michigan person. I will be here the rest of my life.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Tim, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
My mom is the perfect mom. She was the one that made sure that we always had great birthday parties. She made birthday cakes. I had a Dr. J cake once with chocolate icing for the afro, and his uniform was with the Sixers, and Halloween costumes, and just everything was all family. And my dad really taught me how to play sports. He loves the Tigers and the Lions and the Red Wings. We watched games together. He coached me, he encouraged me, and he was all about hard work and dedication. So I could not have had better parents.
Tim, how old were you when you realized you were a very gifted athlete?
Jack, when I was a kid, I dreamed about playing sports. And it wasn't easy at the beginning. I started playing against older kids, and I got beat up a little bit and discouraged at times, but I kept growing and got stronger. And I would say that when I was probably in third or fourth grade, I really started to excel. And I had a love of the game that really drove my passion and my energy to become a really good player. So I'd say probably third or fourth grade.
Where did you get your love specifically for basketball?
It just clicked. I was taller than the other kids, and the first game I ever played, I was mesmerized because I could get by the guy covering me. I made shots, and it gave me a real ego boost. I felt like I was very good and wanted to shoot as many baskets as I could on a daily basis. In the wintertime, I shoveled off the snow from my basketball court. In the summer, I dribbled around the block as many times as I could. I was addicted. And, you know, kind of an interesting story, Jack. When my wife and I sent our son, Kellen, to college, he's a freshman playing basketball at Western Michigan. And when we were cleaning out his room, I found a box with all of his basketball cards. And I started going through it. And, you know, I looked at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and Wilt Chamberlain and Dr. J. And I remember when I was back starting to play, every nickel or dime that I found, I went and bought basketball cards. And I studied them in class, and I carried them in my pocket. And I dreamed from a very young age about having a chance to maybe play against them someday. And looking back at it, it was really a lifelong goal of mine to try to play at the highest level. And I look at these cards, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the opportunity to play against a guy like that, to be a teammate with Julius Erving, to play for Pat Riley, it was an incredible dream that I will never forget.
Does your son have a Tim McCormick basketball card?
Oh, he has one, and I told him, I said, if you put this card away and save it, keep it in pristine condition, someday it may be worth a quarter.
You know, when we were kids, how we used to put the baseball cards in the bicycle spoke.
Yeah, maybe right.
he gets mad at daddy, put it in the bicycle spoke. So, okay, let's jump ahead. You've got a fabulous career in Clarkston. You choose U of M. And it's early June before your junior year. And you get a phone call from somebody that changes your life.
Yeah. I had a really good high school career. I was an All-American. We had the best team in the state. I came to Michigan with high expectations and really struggled to play my freshman year. There were some veteran players ahead of me. My sophomore year, I had two knee surgeries, redshirted. I was out for 16 months. I put on 50 pounds through weightlifting and that good dorm food, and I was nowhere ready to make the kind of impact at Michigan that I wanted. I received a call from Bo Schembechler, the Hall of Fame football coach, and really an idol and hero to me. And he called me in his office, and he got right in my face. He chewed me out and told me that I was soft and I was lazy and I was not living up to the expectations of anyone. And it was time for me to get to work. And he told me I was going to spend the rest of the summer every day working out with the Michigan football team. We ran stadium stairs. We ran sprints in the big house. We lifted weights. I had, you know, 300-pound linemen yelling and slobbering and sweating on me to push a little bit harder. And it was the first time in my life I was surrounded by intense effort. And I lost about 25 pounds. I got strong. My knees, which had been surgically repaired, were finally strong. And that propelled my career. And I don't know if I ever would have reached my potential or made it to the NBA if Bo Schembechler didn't step into my life and really give me that kick in the pants and say, it's time to get going.
Once in a while, there's a man or a woman that comes along that's bigger than life. What made Bo so special?
Bo Schembechler was entrenched in integrity. I think he expected people to work really hard. He loved team and family. He was passionate about improvement. I think that the Bo Schembechler is one of the most integrity-filled people that I have ever met.
We're talking to Tim McCormick, who believes that the NBA is all about talent, whereas in college basketball, it's about the system. When we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Tim McCormick, who was the 12th overall pick in the 1984 draft. Cleveland Cavaliers, that's the same year Jordan got drafted.
The greatest draft ever with Olajuwon and Barkley and Stockton.
And McCormick, and played 10 years in the NBA. Okay, you say that NBA, it's all about talent, whereas in college basketball, it's about the system.
I believe that, Jack. In the NBA, it's very individualistic. Sure, you're trying to win a championship, but I think that the primary concern is getting that big contract. Players are traded, they're cut, there's not a lot of love for team. Whereas in college, I think that for a college athlete, it's the best team environment that they'll ever be part of. When I was at Michigan, we had a very close-knit group. We had success. We had failure. But we were together. And I really believe that college, the reason that I enjoy broadcasting college basketball games for ESPN is because it's the most pure form of team in all of sports.
Speaking of a system, Coach John Wooden. What made him so great?
I had the privilege and honor to spend time with John Wooden on six different occasions. When I was in high school, I was McDonald's All-American, and I met him and have a picture that I hold very dear to my heart, autographed from John Wooden. And then I broadcast the McDonald's All-American game five different times, in which he was the host and the sponsor. And each time I would sit down and talk with him and ask him for a couple pearls of wisdom. He's deceased now, but truly one of the great winners in the history of sports. And I would say that the one quote that really has stuck with me, is be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what others think you are. And I've shared that with my children, who are both athletes. I think that if you go through your life and your heart is in the right place and you make good decisions and you try to help people, that your life, even though you're going to have some ups and downs and some rocky roads along the way, that you will have an outstanding chance to reach your goals and potential.
Coach K at Duke, his system.
Yeah, I've gone around and had a chance to speak at, I believe the number is about 55 different colleges, talking about a game plan for success. And Coach K asked me to come speak to his team twice. And the last time I was there, I was really in awe of the way that these young men, 20, 21 years old, carried themselves. And at the end of the day, I had watched them practice, and I watched them in the weight room, and the greeting that they gave me, and just everything about the experience. I was just in awe of Coach K and his system. It's really the gold standard of college athletics. And I said, how do you foster and build that type of chemistry and camaraderie and character? And he held up an open hand, and he said, you know, if you think about an open hand, each of the fingers is kind of pointed in a different direction, and the fingers are out there on their own. They're breakable and fragile. But at Duke, we try to get all the players pointing to internal goals about teamwork and winning championships and being together. And if you get the fingers pointing inward, it makes a fist, which is very strong and powerful and united. And that's why at Duke that we have some standards that are focused on academics, teamwork, brotherhood, and winning championships.
When you talk, America listens. When you go to these 55 campuses, you know, these squads are in awe. When you're at home at the dinner table with Michelle and the kids and you talk, what happens?
Well, I think that they listen. I'm blessed to have two wonderful children. Kellen is a freshman playing basketball at Western Michigan, and my daughter Danielle is a very good volleyball player at Notre Dame Prep High School. And one of the things that we've had fun with over the years is I try to talk to them about branding. And with a brand, I mention a good handshake and a look in the eye, a smile, and building connections, the way that you dress, the way you go out in the community and represent your family and your school and your friends. And I think that they've done a really good job, and I'm very proud of the way they carry themselves.
Coach Izzo.
I like Coach Izzo. And it's funny because when I broadcast a Michigan or a Michigan State game afterward, I've had a number of fans that are primarily maize and blue laden say, why do you say so many good things about Coach Izzo? Why are you so pro Michigan State when you played at Michigan? I said, I'm not pro Michigan or Michigan State. I have great respect for both schools and coaches, but Coach Izzo and I have developed a good relationship over the years. What we've done is, you know, we've had a number of really, really positive talks. I enjoy my time with him. But the best thing about Tom Izzo is that he has some core principles that he stands for. The trademark of his team is consistency, toughness, defense, rebounding. It doesn't matter who comes to play for him. That's what he's about. And that's the reason that many consider him the best coach in all of college basketball.
When you were a junior back in Clarkston in high school, you know, a lot of schools were recruiting you, and you went to the University of Toledo for a recruiting trip, and there was a young, up-and-coming assistant coach. His name, Greg Campy, who now is in his 30th year at Oakland University. Tell us about Campy.
Well, it was really, it's funny looking back on it, because Bobby Nichols was the head coach and Greg Campy was this ball of fire guy. That he was young and he was aggressive and you knew he was going to be a good coach. And we've become really good friends. And in some ways, and I think he'll take this as a great compliment, he is a lot like Bo Schembechler to me, where there's great integrity and toughness and a demand for excellence. I really think that Greg Campy grew up and probably idolized Bo Schembechler. His father played for Michigan. His brother played for Bo Schembechler at Michigan. Coach Campy was a football player at Bowling Green. So all of those ingredients have made just a tremendous coach. And my son went to basketball camp for a lot of years. I've spoken to Greg's team a number of times. I'm a fan that watches his games, and I'm very honored to call him a close friend. And one of the mottos that Greg Campy has, which I've written down and told my kids a number of times, is that consistency is the hallmark of greatness. And I love that quote. And it really exemplifies what his program is all about.
Coach Campy, if you're ever looking for a PR agent, if you ever want more money from Tracy Huth, Tim McCormick is your man. You're a color analyst for ESPN on college basketball. What's the key to being a great color analyst?
Wow, that's a good question, Jack. I love college basketball. And when I think of Dick Vitale and his enthusiasm, I don't know if I could ever be that excited. I don't know if I would want to be that excited, but I love college basketball. And there are a couple things that I try to do to separate myself. I put great effort into a broadcast. For a typical ESPN show, I will talk to a sports information director for each team at least 45 minutes. I will place a call to an assistant coach for 45 minutes. I will watch 2 to 3 hours of video on each team. I will consolidate all the notes that I take. And then on game day, I go to shoot around practice. I talk to the coaches. I get anecdotes from the players. I compile all that information. I have notes in front of me, probably 7 or 8 pages. And then I just sit back and try to have as much fun as I possibly can.
All you brought to this was just a bunch of old basketball cards.
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly right.
Let's go back to 1979. And in your book, you refer to this man as Mr. Enthusiasm. You meet Dick Vitale in 79.
Yeah, I made a good friend named Ron Cameron. Sports fans may remember him as Superfan, and he had a radio show in Detroit. And one of the great things was whenever he had studio guests, I would drive down and I had a chance to meet Tommy Hearns and Brooks Robinson and Bob Lanier and Dave Bing. And the most impactful was Dick Vitale. He had recently been fired as the coach of the Pistons. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is how fired up and enthusiastic he was all the time. And he was talking about how his next step in life was going to be to be a broadcaster, and ESPN, the fledgling network, was going to start broadcasting college basketball games. We went back to Dick Vitale's house. Can you imagine, as a high school kid, going back to an NBA coach and a former Detroit basketball coach to his house? I was in awe, and he played the tape for us, and I just thought, oh my gosh, he will never be a broadcaster. He's yelling and screaming, and there's nobody in this gym, just 10 basketball players running up and down the court on his demo tape. And sure enough, if you're passionate about something and love something enough, people will be enthused and they will latch on to you. Dick Vitale is a story in perseverance for sure.
We're talking to Tim McCormick. When we come back, we'll ask him who's the best color commentary analyst he's ever heard. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Tim McCormick, who runs a camp for the top 100 basketball kids each year, players throughout the nation. Tim, who's the best color man out there?
Wow, the best analysts. I would say that some of my favorites, when I was growing up, I remember laying in bed at night listening to George Blaha calling the Pistons games. I've been a fan of George's since his first day in broadcasting, and how nice to be able to call him a friend and still be able to hear him. I also loved Bob Ufer at a very young age. every one of my Saturdays was spent from about 11 o'clock all afternoon in the backyard, listening to my transistor radio, shooting baskets, and following the Michigan Wolverines. And then basketball-wise, the guy that I love is Hubie Brown, former NBA coach, one of the smartest basketball minds and great analysts in all of sports history.
You've written a book. And what's the name of the book and what's the message of the book?
Throughout the course of my career, I've been really, really blessed to have learned so many valuable lessons. And it kind of goes back to the story earlier about the basketball cards that I found. Each basketball card, the picture of Julius Erving and Larry Bird and whoever, each basketball card represents, I would say, a standard of excellence. Tremendous dreams, amazing roadblocks, incredible odds stacked against the players to reach their goals. And what I found is that some people just won't accept no. Some people will not allow failure to be part of their life. And so from my journey through basketball, I found that success is not random. There's a reason some people overcome the odds, and others sit back and make excuses and, you know, wallow in their misery. Never Be Average is the name of the book, and it represents a standard of excellence in the NBA. It's a hard job to get. It's hard to keep. And over the course of my career, I've been surrounded by amazing Hall of Fame teammates and great coaches, and I've met some people that reached and went beyond their goals and others that didn't get there. So the focus of my book are stories that I've learned lessons from, stories from people that have inspired me, and stories from people that maybe didn't reach as high as they could have.
Chapter 2, CEO Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I quote, "An optimistic attitude is more important than talent, looks, or skills." There's hope for me.
You're a good-looking guy, Jack, and you know. But when I think about a CEO attitude, I think of someone like you, because CEO is a mindset. It's a way of life. People think of it as a job title, but I think it's a way where you wake up in the morning and you walk out there with a little swagger, like, get out of my way. I've got things to do, and nobody's going to stop me. And the three qualities that I try to remind myself of under a CEO: confidence, enthusiasm, and being opportunistic. If you don't think you're good in life, nobody else is going to think you're any good. In terms of enthusiasm, it is the lifeblood of successful careers. When you're enthusiastic, it's a catalyst for people around you. And then being opportunistic, it's that playmaker approach. In basketball, if you need a basket, you give it to the playmaker and get out of the way. They're going to score because that's what they do.
Mark, we should give our guest a second bottle of free water for this compliment. All right. Chapter 3, Bounce Back Ability. You say, "My body took a physical toll with a laundry list of injuries and ailments. Broken nose, detached and torn retina, 3 concussions, another broken nose, cracked ribs, broken thumb, torn rotator cuff, dislocated shoulder, fractured foot, broken toe, 8 knee surgeries. Michelle, this man cannot do the dishes."
I had athlete's foot once, too.
Okay. Bounce back ability.
Yeah, I brought you something here today.
Oh.
Okay, this is my role model, and it's a good reminder. I'm going to drop it. It's a basketball. It's an NBA basketball for you that says, "Jack, never be average," and I'd like to have that maybe on your wall on your shelf someday. We are all going to face tremendous burdens throughout our life. We're going to get kicked and knocked down and frustrated. There'll be health issues and tension, and really in pro sports, maybe the thing that I was best at was facing adversity. I was knocked down nonstop. There were trade rumors and injuries and new coaches and teammates. And what I found is that the key to success is taking the hit and bouncing back. Just like that basketball hit the floor and it came right back up. If something happens to us at 10 o'clock and it's still bothering us at 2 o'clock, we have lost a ton of productivity.
Chapter 4, goal setting. You start it with only 3% of the world's population have a written set of goals to help define the direction of their life and career. Why are written goals so important?
Jack, written goals make you accountable. I wake up every morning and I have a 3x5 card. I call it my 3x5 game plan. My wife calls it Sesame Street goal setting because it's pretty simple. But for me, it works. I write down the three things that I want to get done before 10 o'clock. And then I write my second set, which I want to get done by 2 o'clock. And then three more goals that I want to get done by the end of the day. And when I have that list in front of me, I'll keep it in my pocket, I'll keep it on my desk, I cut through all of the clutter before I can go and check my emails and watch SportsCenter and make a few meaningless phone calls. I want to get the most important things done. So it keeps me on track. It helps me eliminate a lot of the daily distractions that might otherwise keep me from reaching my objectives.
We're talking to Tim McCormick. His book, Never Be Average. He's a business consultant, motivational speaker. If you want to learn more, www.timmccormick.com. Tim, talk about following your dream and taking risks.
You've got to set big goals, Jack, and not be afraid to fall. I think that a lot of people, they may have an individual goal of, you know, losing some weight or taking a big trip or starting a business or pursuing a relationship. At some point, that goes back to success is not random. That you have an opportunity to do whatever you want. And we put internal constraints on ourselves. There are enough challenges out there with people that want to see you fail. My mom always said that you know, 90% of people in this world don't care about your problems, and the other 10% are happy that you have them. And so you're not going to get support from anybody else. You have to set a very high set of goals and chase them daily with passion. And at the end of the life, we want to be sitting on the porch and in the rocking chair looking back at the course of our life and say, you know what, I did a good job. I got a great education. I was strong and consistent with my family. I was a leader in my community. I did everything I possibly can. I chased some high goals. I maximized my ability, and just smile because you've lived a good life.
Yogi Berra has a variation of that. He believes that 90% of the people, you know, don't care, and the other 18%.
Happy you have them.
Tim, many young people today are worried. They lack confidence. When we were kids, we had unbelievable mojo. We could do anything. So many of the kids today, they're afraid to shoot. They're afraid to shoot. What do you say to them?
Have a short memory. My daughter is a volleyball player, and she had a game recently where she got off to a very slow start. And I asked her about it. I said, how did you bounce back so quickly? And she said that her coaches shared that it's important to have the memory of a goldfish. And I said, please explain. And she said, a goldfish has a memory of 3 seconds. So, you know, you count to three, you let it go, and you move on. And for young people out there that may be listening, I think that the goal setting we talked about earlier is a very strong catalyst to keep you on task and keep you moving in a positive direction. I think that we're living in the toughest time in history to be a teenager. There is so much peer pressure with all of the social media, with the high expectations that kids have nowadays. I can see why they're intimidated, but mentoring is a really good goal for young people. Find somebody that is in the field that you'd like to go. Somebody that's successful, somebody that you trust, and sit down and develop a relationship. Ask questions, ask for guidance, ask for help. I think that's a really good solution for young people.
We're talking to Tim McCormick. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Tim McCormick, who believes that NBA stands for Never Be Average, and that's the title of his book. Tim, talking about Never Be Average, what made Michael the best?
Michael Jordan is so much different than people really think. They saw him flying through the air, graceful and so athletic. I got to know Michael pretty well because we were in the same draft. And 1984, I sat in the room right next to him. We talked about our goals and objectives, and I'm convinced that he knew he would be the greatest ever. He was so blue-collar and obsessed with winning. And when I retired, I went to Chicago to watch him practice. And when I sat there about 45 minutes before the scheduled practice time, I thought, you know, today's probably not a great day to watch Michael Jordan because they've just won four games in five nights. And he scored over 40 points in each of those games. There's no way that he's going to be practicing on a day like this. Well, I was completely wrong because Michael Jordan was the first guy out. He was on the court almost 30 minutes before any of his other teammates. And he worked on the fundamentals, passing, dribbling, shooting. He was just, I think obsessed is a good word to use. He wanted to get better regardless of how successful he was. And it was that passion that drove him to be the greatest ever.
You come out with a periodic article, okay? And one of them was the greatest leader in sports history, Bill Russell.
Yeah. I never really had a chance to see Bill Russell play during his prime, but I did have the opportunity to get to know Bill. We've had lunch together twice now, and I call him the greatest winner in the history of sports. And if you look at the course of his life, another story in bounce back ability. He was cut from his basketball team, Jack, when he was a sophomore. He was 6'5". How bad do you have to be to get cut from the high school team at 6'5"? And he went and saw his coach and said, "Coach, I love this game. I want to be a player. Help me." What his coach did is he walked across the street to the YMCA, put $2 on the counter and bought him a year membership. And he said, "If you work every day on your game and your skills, I promise you a uniform next year and a spot on the team." He didn't promise him a starting job and 15 shots a game, just a chance. And Bill Russell went to work. The next year, Jack, he made the team and led them to a state championship. And then he went to San Francisco. They won 55 straight games, two national championships. He was the number one pick of the Boston Celtics. He was an Olympic captain and won a gold medal and won 11 championships in 13 years. That is being opportunistic and having adversity management.
You were drafted by the Cavaliers in 84. You played for them. You played for Seattle, a couple other teams, and you played for the Houston Rockets. Something happened during your first game with the Rockets.
Yeah, and it really goes back to what I was saying, that you have to have a short memory. I was sent into the game by my coach, Don Chaney. Go help Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the greatest athletic big men of all time. Go help him on the glass. So one of the first plays, I went for a rebound, and because I was maybe a little bit more vertically challenged than Hakeem Olajuwon, he was way up there. His elbow hit me on the top of the head, and I fell to the ground. I had a gash on my head. There was a puddle of blood on the floor, and as the trainer came running out, I started to tell him that I was okay and I could keep playing, and he zipped right by me, didn't even stop to see how I was doing, and I turned around and looked in horror. He was checking out Hakeem Olajuwon's elbow to make sure he was okay, and it was at that moment that I realized that maybe I wasn't going to be the star on this team, and I had to accept a different role. I really concentrated on my conditioning to stay in great shape. I worked with Olajuwon, passing him the ball in practice, really trying to push him hard. And because I accepted a different role, I lasted an extra 5 years in the NBA and was a backup center for three Hall of Famers, Patrick Ewing, Moses Malone, and Hakeem Olajuwon. So it was a good lesson.
Once in a generation, somebody comes along that changes the game. Michael did that. Dr. J did that. Talk about Dr. J.
Dr. J was a tremendous, tremendous player and even a better person. And he was classy and dignified and personified leadership. Everybody followed Doc. And I just I know that a lot of times for people in the media, for stars, it's easy to focus on the future and you know, autograph signing sessions and big games and all of the stuff that doesn't matter a whole lot. Dr. J, when I was a young guy, I met him and he spent time with me and encouraged me to work on my goals and my dreams, and I'll never forget how important it is to make sure that athletes in general take care of young people and offer advice.
1992, Coach Daly was the coach of the Dream Team. And he said Magic wasn't the leader, Michael wasn't the leader. The leader of the team was Charles Barkley. Talk about Barkley.
Yeah, Barkley was fun. And it's a good lesson in business. The most important thing is to be likable. Kind of a funny story, Jack. When we got beat in L.A., or against the Clippers, we were very down. And Charles was always the kind of guy that would pick you up. And he would make sure that you were happy. And if you were on Charles' team, you were always going to have a good time. Charles was a great leader, but in a different way. And it's a good lesson. Be likable. People do business with people they like, respect, and trust.
As our time winds down tonight, Tim, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
Well, education is the hallmark of success. Work hard in school. Get good grades. Get to college. Do the very best you can. Also, embrace family values. People will come and go out of your life, and if you can have a strong family relationship and develop two or three really close friends, people that you can trust, I think that's a great recipe for success. And more than anything, set big dreams and create a game plan that will drive you to success.
Tim McCormick, you were an All-American basketball player. You're an All-American color commentary, but most impressive is you're an All-American husband, dad, and human being. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.